Ryan Adams, welcome to the music show. Could we talk a bit about categories first? Because I understand you began in a punk band. You've been associated with that label, alt country, for such a long time. But you've been also doing hip hop, metal. Do any of these categories matter to you? I mean, do you think about style, or is it all something which is a bit more fluid than that?
Well, yeah, they all matter to me. There's a level of appreciation that comes from just listening to records that has nothing to do with what happens when I make music and sort of, I guess, on a whim decide, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, I want to experiment with this style, or maybe look for inspiration in some kind of a context with a part that's in a style that wouldn't normally be used. But for me, the idea of musical style is, the best way to describe that is that I enjoy being, it's like I enjoy being in the kitchen and I enjoy cooking. And in my mind, there's no reason why if I've made a pizza for lunch that I shouldn't make Mexican food for dinner, or, you know, or try to make some kind of French cuisine or whatever. I think the whole point of it for me is to enjoy what it is I'm making and to make something with love. And then what happens afterwards is really not up to me.
No. Well, I guess it's all the same cook, isn't it, anyway?
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's, you know, there is things that I understand the discipline of doing one specific thing your whole life to the point where in a monotonous way you become a specialist in one thing. Like I totally and completely understand that as a discipline and as a way of life. But I don't wish to live a life where my ego or my pride direct me so that I could stand and say, well, I can do this one thing very well. Like I want to experience, at least with music, I want to experience everything. I want to understand boleros, and I want to understand, you know, flamenco guitar styles, and I want to understand what moves me about, you know, black metal and hip hop or even folk music. There's always something in all of this stuff that triggers great emotion and sentimentality in me, and it's an amazing thing to chase. And really harmless.
Well, there are certainly far more harmful things that you could be doing with your time. The way you talk about music, it suggests to me that maybe first and foremost you're a fan, that you write from the point of view of somebody who simply loves music.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't really know how I ended up having this life as a career. I mean, I still buy records the same way that I always did. I'm still mystified by them. I get overexcited about them. I mean, it's still part of my week, you know, seeking out records that I can't find or listening to new stuff. And the fact that I do it as much as I do is because I was able to quit having a regular job, because the touring and the making the records, it took up so much time that I couldn't have a regular job. It equaled out at some point, and I always figured that it would be over in a year or two, and I still suspect that. I'm glad that I have plumbing to fall back on, so it'll be okay.
You write a lot of songs. You're prolific, and I wonder whether it's in a way a bit like a habit. I mean, a good habit, but a habit nevertheless.
I mean, I guess that it could be looked at, I suppose, that there's an idea that doing something like writing songs could be habitual, but I always felt directed and inspired. It was never a forced or painful thing for me to write, and I don't labor over ideas. I feel like in a life there are so many places where doubt has its its part and its predominant part. And I think that doubt is the clouds in the sky of a life. And in music, and in when I write, doubt is it's not allowed there. Mm. It has no place for me, because music is, in my opinion, it's a joyous place. Even if the things that you're writing about are not joyous, it's a place to free think, and it's a place free of judgment, even including my own self judgment.
More so than, say, poetry or writing stories, both of which you've also done.
Well, yeah, I think that that's more of a dare. The page doesn't sing. The page doesn't. You can't. It's very difficult to intone sarcasm in a way that you could if you're singing, or to make light of something, or to decontextualize something. I suppose that the masters can do it on a turn of a phrase, and that's why they're masters. But I find the whole process of writing that kind of stuff extremely challenging and humbling and slightly humiliating, and it's good for me.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and my guest is Ryan Adams. What about the subject matter? You've been writing songs for a long time now. I mean, you've been in this business for, you know, since you were a teenager. You've been 20 years. Are you writing about different things now compared to 20 years ago?
Not really. I think that I'm probably... it feels less pretentious to me what I'm writing about now. And it's a very difficult thing to explain. I think it's very difficult to explain this, but I basically grew up with records that I loved them because there was either a self-seriousness about the record or something mysterious about the music and the way that the words went together, or the band in general, or it was an affront to the senses. But usually, if it was so personal, and which would usually make a record obscure, that I had to imagine the life of the band, the more that happened, the more interested I was up to a certain time in my life. And then I realized that on those records, it was the songs that I could almost imagine myself in them, or that they were almost written so that in the headphones, when I closed my eyes, they were telling a story about my life somehow, that those were the songs that I was drawn to. The more that took place, the more that I had that experience, the more that I realized that I had less and less of a tolerance for sort of music that was more based around a gimmick, or music on stilts, or, you know, album covers that were flashy. They stopped overtaking this thing of substance, this levity. And as that wore into my life, it wore into my writing. And I started realizing that, you know, friends of mine, we didn't have the same kind of taste in music, you know, but we had the same things happening in our lives. And I felt compelled to write those songs for them, or for myself, sort of away from myself. Mm. So it stopped being... Or it has become more and more, it stopped being like, this affected me like this, and then the chorus would be, and this is the synopsis of how it affected me. Mm. Now it's more like, if I use the first person, what's interesting is that for people that think that I'm writing songs verbatim about my life, what's interesting is that I write them from a total first person void, so that I'm only imagining these songs and how they would apply to me if they had already existed. They're not directed by my life, so that they're kind of become tools, or and sometimes weapons, or sometimes a cloak of invisibility, or or a warm blanket, or sometimes a house on fire. Like, they're all different representations of events that have less to do with me and more to do with the situation or the song itself. And the more that I've gone there, the happier I've been with what I've done.
What about when other people sing your songs? I mean, I read this quote from Noel Gallagher, who said that when he heard you sing his song Wonderwall, he got it for the first time. I wonder whether you've ever had an experience like that.
I haven't heard my songs done so much, but I don't know. When Noel said that, I've always just thought, like, I know this sounds funny, but when somebody like that says something about something that you've done, it's too surreal. So I always assume, I go like, what was his point in saying that? Like, what am I not understanding about why he would have said that? Because it's not true, or like...
An ulterior motive.
Basically, yes, because it's not that... I mean, he's a really nice person, and I've met him a couple of times, and he's always been grand and really actually fun to talk to, really down-to-earth guy. But it's like, there isn't any part of me that can accept that, you know? Mm. And I don't know many other covers. Somebody once sent me, this is a long, long, long time ago, but somebody once sent me like a cover that Elton John had done solo on piano of Oh My Sweet Carolina, but at one of his shows, but no one knew what the song was or what he was talking about. And I'm certain that they all of them were like, what's happening? Like, because it didn't, you know, I don't really, I don't sell a lot of records, and I don't have like platinum albums. I don't even have gold records really. And I don't do a lot of videos. I did a couple for this record, but even in the context of when I do them, it's a different game for me. It's a different world for a songwriter. So it's strange that even the people who do know about me, because I don't think that the world is really open for singer songwriters in the way that maybe like a dance artist or really big rock bands are, you know. There's more spectacle there, and I agree.
Yeah. Well, there's another genre for you, dance artist. Maybe that's what you should look to next. It's been very good to talk to you, Ryan Adams. Thank you so much for being on The Music Show. And I've been enjoying the new album a lot, and I think you should listen to the opening track from it. It's called Dirty Rain.